Nachos, amigos, and welcome to Record Breakers, a music podcast where a group of friends gather together to share music with each other, like a book club for music. We'll do an album at a time. It's a fun time had by all. I'm Petey Rave, and I'm way west of downtown. Way far from downtown. Here with me is my team, my usual squad, my quorum. We have David.
Thanks for listening, Jeremy. Hope you enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm. We've got Matt.
Hey guys.
Yeah, and we've got Brett.
I have it on good authority that downtown is not a place where I want to be right now.
Fair enough. And we have a guest. It is that time again for another guest. And it's somebody that, another person that our good buddy David recommended. So David, who have you brought with us?
This time on the Record Breakers podcast, listeners, I brought a friend of mine who is a media analyst and YouTube vlogger with specialties in the animated series Angela Anaconda, also with a little bit of Star Trek and other various forms of animation. Please welcome to the Record Breakers podcast at Amazon Kane, Miss Alexandra Bender. Alexandra, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. We're here to talk about music, of course. And Alexandra, you've brought an album, a nice little collection of music. What have you brought for us?
I have brought the Ultimate Petula Clark. So it's a collection of some of Petula Clark's best known songs. She is a singer from the 1960s, specializing in pop. This brand of pop has its roots in jazz and big band. She has 60s optimism. I like the aesthetic of the decade. I like the music of the decade. So, and it's one of the few albums that I can talk about and not embarrass myself.
That always helps.
It's always helpful.
That's way ahead of me already.
Yeah.
I've yet to find one.
Yeah. Let's talk about expectations. I'll go with Brett. Brett, what were your expectations coming into this album?
I mean, I knew the song Downtown, and I've probably seen that song in a playlist somewhere, and it had the name attached to it. But other than that, I hadn't heard too much of this, and I honestly haven't. This is two kinds of genres that and an era that don't really cross my path too often. So I really didn't even have a lot to. I knew Herb Alpert. That's the closest thing that I knew that Petula Clark had anything to do with. But yeah.
Matt, what were your expectations coming into this album?
I also kind of knew her name. It was just in my mind from somewhere. As soon as I looked at the track list, I saw Downtown, and I'm like, oh, that's that song. I had actually, I think, seen it on one of those infomercials where they play a little clip of a million different songs, like, by our 60 billion CD box set from Time Life for only three easy payments of $99.99.
Fill out your Columbia house little stamps.
Exactly.
And send them in, get your dollar CDs of Jagged Little Pill and some meatloaf that, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
I know those things.
David,
your parents about the 90s.
Yeah.
Or don't really, just maybe not, just maybe it's best to forget. David, what were your expectations coming into this album?
Well, after recognizing Downtown, I looked up Petula Clark as an artist and found out she has quite the biography, quite the history. Just from that song along, I was getting the idea that, like Alexandra said, there's going to be sort of a 60s post-war optimism, given that she's from England. That was sort of a trend at the time of moving forward, looking ahead, seeing a brighter future after the war. And you definitely get a little bit of that vibe just from Downtown alone. So I was expecting very, very poppy pop music of the time. Not poppy like I've brought on this show before, but
not the person, not capital P poppy.
No. But poppy of that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect, but what we got was something very interesting. Alexandra, how would you describe this album musically? What would be the themes elements you would draw on?
Well, as I said, I definitely noticed pop has evolved over time. In this, definitely has its roots in jazz, in big band, and it has an easy listening feel to it. Musically, there's a lot of horns, which I love. There's really nice piano. It's very soothing. It's very ethereal. But it's also very bright, very energetic. But there's something I can't describe quite in words about it. It's 60s kitsch is the best way I can put it. It is a little bit bubblegum, but that's something I personally really like.
Yeah.
I would even say it's not even that deep. It's very, I would say, bubblegum, but in a way that doesn't feel saccharine, in a way that doesn't
bubble
feel...
Bubblegum, but not diabetic.
Exactly. Yeah. Bubblegum, but not diabetic. It is...
Sugar-free.
Donna Reed.
Sugary, but not... There's still substance there. It's still very genuine. It is still very passionate. It doesn't feel phony in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's surface level at times.
Yeah. Yeah, Brett, how would you describe this album musically?
Okay, so this is a genre of music that I haven't really jumped into or listened to very often, so I don't have a lot of the vocabulary for that genre in itself. But I have listened to a lot of, you know, British Invasion era other music, and like I've also like the era of jazz that I studied was 60s bebop, which had some of the same recording techniques as used in this album. So this is one of those albums where, like, hey, we've got this reverb that's like this tank of full of springs that everybody got into. It is very orchestral and has a lot of room noise, and the audio mix is like for pop records they focus on vocals, so like you hear a lot of tambourine that hangs out in the same area as the vocals, so there's a lot of that. Chimes and bells cut through the mix a lot. Because you'll hear like some guitar going on in the background on a few songs, but it's sort of like down in the mix. And when you have some of these songs that are like a wall of sound where you've got strings and like the full orchestra, almost James Bond theme levels of like effort, almost melodrama in the music. The way these songs are like made for radio play pop, like, you know, these are about the hook. And, you know, it favors the vocals. The structure of the songs we have some old friends that came back this time since we listened to a previous person who used a couple of these progressions. But we have some old classics, and, you know, they're not like paving new ground on these songs, but they're putting them together in a way that is definitely different and of the time. And a lot of these songs were written by a guy, Tony Hatch, who's best known for his composition work for pop acts and then working in television doing soap opera music. So this does sort of very orchestral, a lot of emotion. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Definitely has a Young the Restless kind of vibe.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Matt, how would you describe this album musically?
You know, the thing about the era that Petula Clark came from is that there was certainly a lot of gatekeeping and other not great stuff and payola to make sure your song was, you know, on the right radio station. But the one upside is that the folks who made it through really could sing really well, and this is no exception. It was kind of interesting, bordering on unnerving at times, that every song you could just hear like a very wide smile while singing. Just a perpetual smile. And boy howdy, there's a lot of orchestration, which is... I was half expecting to for this to be recorded like with the Wrecking Crew as the as backup, but it was all recorded in the UK, so I suspect that they were not flown out for every recording.
David, how would you describe this album musically?
I would describe this album as a taste of what pop music was before Beatlemania. This was right before that whole thing exploded. I think that's it's reminiscent of a time, especially in England and the United States, where everyone was still feeling very upbeat about the future. This is very early 60s, not late 60s. I think that'd be the best way to describe it. Certain parts of the country and the UK were still feeling very proud, very, very high on itself. And you get the optimism. Like Matt said, you hear Petula Clark smiling in these songs. And that's not a detriment by any means. You can hear that, and it comes through a lot of these. A few of the songs have a little bit of a different emotion, but you definitely get that feel of trying to invoke emotion of saying that this is a brand new day. It's a brand new era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. It definitely is of an era and of a time and of a very perky emotion. It's very perky and poppy and very like galvanizing, and it's just, and Petula Clark can sing. She can sing, certainly sing,
by the way.
Yeah, like she had the vocals, and yeah, it's very, very poppy. It's very like pop, you know, very perky pop with like with all the influences that pop was pulling from back then. You know, this was the pop music of the time, so you can like see why it's included in all those compilations, like all your favorites from the 60s, you know.
And one more thing, PD, along with this being maybe right before Beatlemania, this was also
during and after, because they're talking about a compilation over many years, so it's like
and very much before Motown really exploded as well.
Yeah,
we're not hearing a bass guitar walking up and down on this just yet.
The Funk Brothers are not on any of this. No.
Yeah. But there are backup singers all over the place. Like, yes. That was one thing. So it's like that little connecting tissue of.
Yeah.
The sponge of pop music sucking up other genres.
Yeah, so it was you can hear that, and it was well made. It wasn't something that like I wouldn't necessarily call it timeless, but like it definitely of its time. It was interesting. Let's talk about some of the key tracks. I mean, we're talking about a compilation of all hits.
Before we do that, everyone take a drink, because Petey said interesting.
Yes. stay quenched.
Hydro homies. Stand up. Let's talk about some key tracks. Alexandra, what would be some of the key tracks to zero in on?
Well, the famous song is Downtown. That was Petula Clark's best known song. That is the first one on the album. And it's a classic. The other one, I'd say the other big one is Don't Sleep in the Subway, which is a very catchy song. But when I hear it, I love it. But when I think of it, it's the most passive aggressive song I have ever heard. But it's still so catchy, and you still hear the love in her voice. There's a story of it's a couple fighting in this song. But even then, it still sounds, it's passive aggressive, but still very optimistic, and it's very, very catchy.
Yeah.
Those two
bless
and
your heart.
One.
Very
yeah, bless your heart. That. The other one, I personally love this one. It's a personal favorite, but I don't hear it talked about nearly as much. Is a song called My Love. And that's just an expression of how much you can love somebody, how cheesy it can be, but how passionate you really can be when you do find someone you really connect with. And it's got an amazing horn section. It's bright. It's passionate. It's very genuine. It's very sweet and innocent. And I find it a very underrated track. Mm-hmm. Downtown. Talking a little bit about the most famous one, just wanted to talk a little bit about that before you guys share your thoughts. Downtown, I find it is the most classic song. Even if it is of the times, it still has a wonderful theme of connecting with people, getting out of your apartment, going to a new place, and without any expectation, you can find someone to connect with, which is...
Remember leaving your apartment, everybody?
Yes, yes. Well, we're starting to do that now.
For better or for worse.
I'm emphasizing the theme of emotion and connectedness, even if the sound is of the time, the emotions are still very timeless and the emotions are very resonant. And that one, particularly in such a simple way, nails that optimism of connecting with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Brett, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
So Downtown is, you know, the song of this album, the standout song. And it's a very well-written song. It holds the same type of song as, I don't know the people who originally did it, but the They Might Be Giants song about New York City. That's where the streets are paved with diamonds and all the other things that are not New York City. But I very much, there's the I'm happy because I'm in a place where civilization exists song. But when I hear it, I can't stop but think of Brittany Murphy in Girl Interrupted and a certain scene. But, you know, that's me. And I Know a Place, another track that came through. This was the limitations of the recording. Like back then, the backing vocals and the horns must have been very, very difficult to record because they were like clipping in the mix. And I don't know if it was just like the Spotify version, but like that's something that you kind of had to deal with when you're scratching out the high notes. And like that was a limitation of the time. But like there was definitely horns that hung out a lot. And they hung out a lot like just like either an octave down from the vocals or like right up there with them. So they came through, or at least the ones that I was hearing. But every now and then you get like the low end brass and like you'd be like, oh, there's like that not so muddy low end. Don't Sleep in the Subway, the use of bells and the electric piano every time, like that's very of its time. And also we got to do shout outs, Canon and D, everybody's favorite wedding song, which shows up again in Happy Heart. But Happy Heart, though, it's every time I heard it, it reminded me of the song MacArthur Park. And then Jurassic Park by Weird Al at the same time. But like the very over the top, like, you know, singing your guts out. It may be about a cake out in the rain, but you're singing about it. Like it's that kind of.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's the melodramatic over singing the wall of vocals that really stood out to me. It's like, you know, it is a thing of the time. Just like in the late 2000s, you had to, you couldn't just hold a note. You had to sing like a whole like run of notes and then like hit your falsetto and
or
do all
to be
six
really
octaves.
Breathy and tortured.
Yeah, oh, like it's very, yes. Yeah. So and also like all of these songs have a very like the way that vocals sounded, like I don't know if it was just the room that they were in or like the creakiness or whether they were like recording like a live room for a lot of this stuff, but there was definitely it had volume to it in a way.
It sounds almost like they were recording in like a symphony concert hall.
Yeah. but then, but not everything, because like the pianos the electric piano didn't bounce back like that. It's very, I would like to see how they put this together, because it all sounds like craziness to me thinking
in
of
Ed Sullivan Theater,
like tape being spliced by a guy with a pair of scissors smoking a cigarette, like
it was England
taping this all together.
Royal Albert Hall, somewhere like that.
Something like that. I was gonna eat that cake, but now maybe it's just all wet and I don't think I want any.
Hey, I was not expecting.
Matt,
I'm Brett and tortured.
Yeah, Matt, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
Downtown. There's a nice bit of rhythm play on the pre-chorus that I enjoyed. And dynamics. This song has them, which, as longtime listeners of this radio program will know, I appreciate. Even more so, I don't appreciate the lack of them usually, but this song had them. I love the, just at the very end, there's just this bluesy, jazzy, muted trumpet, and it's like some jazz player just wandered in and started jamming, and the producer's like, God damn, who let that guy in? Get him out!
And then Miss Clark was like, no, he can stay.
Let him stay. Yeah.
He can stay.
Stay.
Let him play.
And also, I was reading on the Wikipedia page, and apparently Jimmy Page played on this track when he was just a studio musician, so that's
this
a little
is like
fun fact.
Yardbirds, jeez.
And Bowie had ties to the guy who wrote a lot of these songs, like back when he was Davy Jones.
Oh, jeez.
From pop era David Bowie, so there's some of that going on. And Herb Alpert, everybody's and everyone's favorite Tijuana Brass members.
Yes.
You'd better come home. This is not a happy song. And
all
like
the stacks in this are happy.
Yeah, except this one. It's like, well, the husband has definitely been cheating, and I was reading through the lyrics, and I'm not completely sure, but I think the wife might have been as well. So it's if that's the case, then it's kind of a piña colada song situation where it's like two assholes who deserve each other.
Like Don't Sleep in the Subway.
Yeah.
Also, that song was written by a man named Tony Hatch. So every time I hear pop songs from the like 60s and 70s written by a man, I'm always like, okay, I've got to do some like in my head. Is this the like what TV shows want to tell me how trashy the pop industry was in the 60s?
Right.
Or like, but then I was like, oh, okay, this was not probably that example, but like it always like the way that pop music has been a product over the years that you attach a face to.
Now
the
I'm wondering, you're no good. I'm
not very well versed in music history. When did pop music become that way? Or was it always, even since its inception?
Well, I know like Armed Forces Radio used to put the like, you know, the girls from Omaha, you know, like, you know, their sisters. Like, so whenever there was a traveling sideshow, I'm sure that somebody was able to find somebody who was a face first and a voice second. But but what you were saying, Matt, like the skill comes out, like the people who made it for a reason.
Oh yeah.
Like there may have been trashy stuff, but they're always like, these voices are always large.
Yeah. Call Me. I just want to give a quick shout out to this one because I just imagine it being like a TV ad for a 1-900 number and just listen to it with that in mind and listen to the lyrics, and that's a fun time.
Blondie had another one, similar title, similar theme.
Yeah. And lastly, I Don't Know How to Love Him, just because I love a good prostitute song.
Yeah.
I do like that it does go ahead and start with the JC Superstar refrain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just sure. Yeah.
I was feeling pretty jellical. Like I wanted to dance and get my theatrics on.
Yeah. I guess you wouldn't know where it comes from if it didn't have the refrain necessarily. This song also just has the benefit of being just a really well-written song. And I do love the background vocals on this, on when she's talking about couldn't cope. It's just, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
In a very special way.
Mm-hmm. David, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
Clint Ballard wrote You're No Good from Linda Ronstadt. Clint Ballard. You'd Better Come Home. This was the first song and maybe the only song on the album that really felt different. It was not the standard pie in the sky pop song that was on the rest of this album. You could really hear Miss Clark using her voice in different registers. She was singing in some points lower than her voice normally is throughout this album, and it really, really stood out. You could hear her doing different things with her voice. I also really recognized throughout this album, much to my surprise, given that a lot of this is sort of pre-Motown, this has a bit more swing than some of her contemporaries would have had. And I particularly recognize that on the song Don't Give Up. I, much to my surprise, I found myself kind of moving in my chair listening to this song when I just kind of had it on in the background on my second listen. So Don't Give Up was kind of a jam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's bring it back around the horn. Talk about some conclusive thoughts. Kind of everybody kind of nailed everything as far as the tracks. Brett, what would be your conclusion on this collection at the end of the day?
I mean, I'm the not the person that you go to when you want the most informed critique of 60s Britpop. You know, I enjoyed my time digging into this as like it's a complete blind spot. I had no, like, I'm looking at names and like following links of people that I can't go two levels of Kevin Bacon with without like finding somebody that they were involved with that I recognize. So like this was a huge, like, it, you know, this was outside of my wheelhouse completely. And I enjoyed the dig, the search, the hunt for information. You know, it probably isn't going to get regular play just because it's not sort of the thing that I listened to, but you know, I did put some laps in Project Cars 2, while listening to this album. And surprisingly, you know, as I'm, you know, blazing down, Circuit of the Americas in a car, you know, it was not the worst music to have on. Like it doesn't get in your way. And, when you do notice things, there are things worth noticing. It's, you know, not, there are other albums that I've listened to where you catch the thing that, why did they put that in the song? This, you catch a thing and you're like, oh, wow, that's neat. Like, yeah. Listen to that horn go.
Yeah. Matt, how would you conclude on this album?
I don't see myself necessarily returning to this, but it was a very good journey to a bit of music that I've never really explored deeply. I'm familiar with a fair bit of the music from the 60s, but less so on the pop side of things. And so it was an interesting interesting to hear that side of it.
Yeah. Now imagine Vanilla Fudge doing these songs.
And what would the screenshot be on YouTube?
Yes.
That guy blowing his,
it would be excellent,
microphone out.
And
yeah.
I would love to hear Vanilla Fudge
about
do all of these.
I'm thinking about if Petula Clark had songs written by Smokey Robinson back in the day.
Wonder if Luke played on this album somewhere.
I wonder if you could
I bet he was too young.
Yeah. I wonder if you could just play this at like 50% on YouTube and you'd get the same effect of having Vanilla Fudge play it.
You might have to overdub some organ.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much psychedelic going on in this.
Yeah.
But you could do that with one good organ with a couple stops pulled out.
Yeah.
Maybe a distorted guitar as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of expanding your mind.
No.
No, but there are plenty of horns. Yes. Plenty of horns, even some flute, you know, horns. You get.
No surprise saxophone.
Okay, quick side check. I was talking to a friend of mine about Vanilla Fudge.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about how they were a groundbreaking band, but he kept bringing up horn parts. And I was like, dude, there are no horns in Vanilla Fudge. But
give
if he
him
was convinced,
in the court of the Crimson King.
I have no idea what he was talking about.
I mean,
he had the right songs. He had the right effect that the band had, but he kept talking about horn parts and comparing them to Three Dog Night. So
you're going to be hunting this album that's in his head and only in his head forever to try and figure out who he was actually talking about.
Just say it was in the Court of the Crimson King and give that to him. He won't know the difference.
Yeah.
I so wish I could have recorded that conversation to put it out on the Record Breakers feed as like a little bonus Vanilla Fudge episode.
Yeah.
Just a little bonus.
Yeah. David, how would you conclude on this album as a whole?
I will say that it is very much the entire compilation is very much you'll hear this on your oldies radio station in your area. The entire album is a compilation. It's not an album. It's a greatest hits collection. So it does kind of stay in one lane. And Petula Clark's lane is one that she's very adept at. The only thing is that there's almost little to no deviation. At times, while I was listening to it, I would say that it almost faded too far into the background. It's almost too easy to listen to. It's almost too easily digestible to where I almost tuned it out because it was so easily listenable pop that it was almost invisible. Like it would be things you would hear maybe in the mall almost. It kind of felt like that unless you're going through a vaporwave phase or something. But there was nothing about it that was bad. All of the instrumentation was really well done. I absolutely loved the sound of the album. I love that it sounded like she was singing and the orchestra was there with her. I loved how that sounded. And it really made her voice stand out. And she was very, very good at controlling what she did with her voice throughout this album. She's a very talented vocalist. At worst, the album is very one-dimensional. At best, you could say that the entire compilation is an easy listen, despite it having nearly 20 tracks. It's not a tough 20 tracks to get through. I would say that there's nothing really bad, but your mileage may vary.
Mm-hmm. It's a, like you said, it's a very easy album to get through. They're very tight, radio friendly tracks, even in length. very rarely do they go past 3 minutes. They're very like easy to kind of digest and easy to like get. That being said, it's very also maybe even easier to get through if you do like me, and once you kind of like get what a song is doing, kind of go, all right, next one. And like it's like, and once you kind of, okay, we're in the third verse, okay, we can move on. But you know, the vocals are, or the singing is great and well made done, and it's very feel good. It's very feel good pop music. It's very digestible. It's probably not something I'm going to come back to, but just because it didn't, you know, woo me. But it works well, and I think it,
noted hater of pop music. PD.
I'm all of those pop albums
behind him don't exist.
Yes.
Music snob.
Yes.
Music snob. I don't like bubblegum pop music at all. Hides the K-pop collection.
Kpoppodcast.com, everybody.
That's why you need a
K-pop fan.
Yes.
Yes.
K-pop stands. Best face turn in 2020. I'll bring that show back up from hiatus at some point. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's good. But, you know, not my favorite. But it's good stuff. Last but not least, Alexandra, what would be your conclusion on this collection, on this album as a whole?
I'm not as well versed in music as you guys, so I'm definitely approaching this more as a fan than anything else. Mm-hmm. This is an album that has stayed with me for a very long time. I have loved Petula Clark my whole life, and her music puts me in a good mood. I love the 1960s. I love the aesthetic. I like the fashions. I like the fact that this is a very optimistic album. It's my kind of kitsch.
I will say, I heard you in this album, Alexandra. And I mean that in the most complimentary way.
Well, thank you. Well,
and we have all brought terrible albums that we love. So, like, there's no, like, you can know
you
the
about?
You can
My
know
stuff's
music.
Great.
But we may know more music, but like what you enjoy and what is considered good are two different things altogether.
Exactly. And a lot of the stuff I like in general in my life, animation, television, live action TV, movies, a lot of the stuff I like, a lot of people don't like. This one, I would say this is one of the exceptions to that, because Petula Clark is obviously a very talented, very successful person. She's still touring. I actually got to see her in concert 2 years ago. I like that she's optimistic, but also very passionate. It's very genuine. The emotion, the kindness.
This woman was on the radio during the war on the BBC. Yep. She sang for Winston frickin' Churchill. That's amazing.
He's not amazing, but that's amazing.
You can come out of that from... If you're not optimistic coming out of that, then
yes.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yes. And I always love a good kitsch. And also, I don't want to hear about... If there are people out there that don't like Angela Anaconda, I don't want to hear about it.
Oh, that's most of the internet. But I don't mind. I don't mind.
That's do you know what? They can go...
Say it, Pete.
Fly a kite.
Say it.
They can
Say
go
it.
Fly a kite.
Yeah, that's
I'll
right.
I'll see them in my revenge
wow.
movies.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Jeez.
Petey Rave coming strong.
Check out that blood pressure, Petey. You're getting worked up. You're saying almost my swears.
My Galaxy Watch Active is freaking out. No, but I'm always down for some Angela Anaconda.
Trying to bring it back. That's my goal. I'm trying to run a reboot of the series.
Yes, we'll plug that because I'm excited for the prospect of that in a moment.
Actually was lucky enough to interview one of the voice actresses, one of the animators, and even the creator.
Yeah, so
special show.
Yes, exciting stuff. But yes, in the meantime, let's talk about our main event of the evening, the moment we've all been waiting for, what sums it all up, the true core of the show, our dumb
give
project.
Give it to him in the 575.
The haiku reviews. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Haikumero numero uno. Brett, what is your haiku?
By popular demand, my haiku, covers a few years. Vocals first, 60s Britpop. Album shows its age.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what is your haiku?
Radio pop hits for a very good reason. Best in small doses.
Mm-hmm. David, what is your haiku?
Collection of hits from a past era songbird. Yeah, it was all right.
Mm-hmm. My haiku. Gifted performers, many hits from the 60s, did not inspire me. and last but not least, Alexandra, what is your haiku?
It was a different time. Optimism through chaos. It is a different time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And those are our thoughts on the ultimate Petula Clark. Petula? Petula.
To add some extra syllables
Petula.
In there. Petula.
Petula Clark.
Petula. Petula Clark. Gesundheit. Those are our thoughts on Petula Clark's compilation. So you can find it on our Spotify playlist. Play Record Breakers, the home game. Do your due diligence and your due diligence. I'll tell you all the next week's record is also going to be on there. And it, of course, as the, you know, the cycle goes, you know, we're in between the core of episodes, so it's going to be my turn. And I'm going to bring something that caught my attention, like, well, as of the time we were recording this, because this was a little while ago, because so, we banked the guest episodes.
Don't show people. Man, don't, the man behind the curtain.
God!
Sorry, I keep exposing
out his business.
I shaved for this.
Yeah, I you're going to see me with a beard one of these days, and you're going to be confused.
Yes.
Every time, Petey, we've talked about this. Kayfabe, brother.
An album, an artist, and a song that caught my interest recently, and it was a very powerful song, and we're going to talk about the album. I haven't listened to the album, but I'm very interested in checking it out. Very, very seemingly talented modern blues guitarist and singer and performer by the name of Gary Clark Jr. And his album This Land.
Oh,
so
Gary Clark. Okay, yeah. Okay.
So this is gonna be fun. We're gonna, you know, kind of like bring more blues into this world. So look forward to that next week. Yeah, look forward to that next week. But that is next week, and this is this week. Before we tell you about where you can find us, weird dudes on the internet, Alexander, what can you tell the folks about where you can find, where they can find you, and what you got going on, and tell everyone everything.
Sure, you can find me on YouTube, on Twitter, and on Instagram. My handle is Amazon Kane. That is AmazonKane. Most of what I do is rewatch Angela Anaconda, talk about it, but I occasionally do Star Trek analysis videos. Yep.
Yeah.
And I talk about whatever interests me on in between.
Exactly. Don't we all? And it's a wonderful thing to do.
Yes. Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
Exactly.
When the walls fell.
Yes.
Shock up when the walls fell.
All right. But the rest of us, you can find all over the internet. David is at Call Me DJM. Matt is at MRiddickW. Brett is at HibbityBibbitHibbityBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbitBibbit recordbreakerspodcast.com, recordbreakerspodcast@gmail.com, rebelly.net for this and other shows, Rebelly TV on YouTube and on Twitch. We stream our core episodes, so you can check out the recordings for our regular core episodes there. But yeah, follow there. We also do other streaming, like, for example, me and Brett like to do space trucking.
Come on, let's go space trucking.
We like to do some Astroneer on Thursday, so you can check that out there. And I like to stream other games as well, but check it out. We find us everywhere. You find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, all the places that will accept my RSS feed. And all, you know, like, share, subscribe, do all the things, hit the bell, slap the walrus, spank the monkey, do all the things until
laminate the livestock.
I am the weasel.
Hasta los huevos.
Toodaloo.
Hashtag find Luke.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.